So Pope Francis has made an Italian lawyer the first woman to hold a management position in the Vatican's most important office. Francesca Di Giovanni will serve as an undersecretary for multilateral affairs and will be responsible for coordinating the Holy See's relations with groups including the UN. Pope Francis has been vocal in his support for women holding greater positions of authority in the Vatican. She said that the Holy Father has made an unprecedented decision, certainly which beyond myself personally represents an indication on attention towards women. Pope Francis is considered quite progressive, and this appointment comes with the easing on the ban on married men serving as priests. For many, celibacy is a key part of being a Catholic priest, as time is supposed to be devoted to the church rather than to a family and a wife. So many traditionalists are concerned about the direction that he's going, especially with the decentralisation of the church, putting women in higher positions, and this celibacy issue. So the questions I want to ask is, you know, why do you think this has taken such a long time for women to be getting higher roles in the Catholic Church? You know, this one isn't necessarily a particularly religious one either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what sort of reasons do you think might add to this, you know, length of time?
I think one of the main reasons, which is something we discussed actually briefly before we came on air, was the fact that the Pope doesn't have as much power as he used to have.
Mm.
Having someone who is kind of as more flexible, more kind of liberally flexible as Pope Francis is, can't make too much of a difference, other than obviously him being, you know, like the poster boy of Catholicism.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fantastic if he's going to be a good understanding and equal person. But the issue is there's still a lot of institutional sexism within the kind of head of the Catholic Church. And that's not to say that throughout the Catholic Church there is, you know, still, you know, there's a huge amount of issues, but because it takes so long for these processes to be made, and for so long it's been such a specific way, you know, this tiny little quiet state, women still don't have the vote in the Vatican.
No, it's all the decisions made by men.
Yeah.
I mean, none of the women get any sort of say in this sort of thing, which is probably the most important voice.
Yeah.
They're voting on things like, you know, should women become priests, which is, you know, something that is brought up occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Women aren't voting on this sort of thing,
yeah,
which is slightly insane.
Yeah.
But that is just how the structure of the Catholic Church works. And, you know, mm-hmm, if women can't come, you know, if women become priests, then they can, that, you know, you need to build up to that stage. But
yeah, you need to get representation first before decisions are made, mm, I think. It's the Vatican's a strange thing to me. So I'm into Rome in summer, absolutely lovely, really nice there, but the Vatican, there's this, like, it's like one side of it there's these like restaurants and bars and chatty Italian streets, people standing outside smoking, music, you know, like your standard Italian city stuff. Then you go for a wall and it's just like completely different. It's like it's one big museum. It's absolutely stunning, but it's just a completely different world, and it's crazy that across, just through that brick wall, there is the difference between people being able to have the same amount of rights. You're represented on one side of the wall and the other side you're not.
Yeah, it's interesting. And, like, you know, part of the reason why, you know, this sort of thing takes a long while, and it's, you know, it's almost ingrained into the way that the hierarchy of the Catholic Church works, is that the Church Fathers, you know, at the very, you know, almost beginning of Christianity, you know, started putting in ideas about subordination of women and what their place was, you know, stemming from, like, passages in Corinthians, you know, women should be silent in churches. And, however, you know, we've got figures in the New Testament who, for example, like Phoebe the deacon, no one really talks about. That's quite a high status for a woman, you know, for a woman. And interestingly, like, often her name is changed to a male name, which doesn't help.
Who was Phoebe the deacon?
Well, that's all it really says. It's
okay.
In a Romans passage, where Paul talks about Phoebe being a deacon and a benefactor, implying that she's probably quite wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And a deacon status has only been given to maybe 5 or 6 other men in the New Testament, mm-hmm. and that's it. And that's, you know, that's quite, at that time, that was quite a, you know, she was able to, you know, speak out in churches and had some sort of authority over people within Christianity. So it's interesting that we've gone, reverted back from, you know, like women having this sort of status, right back into Paul's letters to now, you know, women not even be able to become priests in the Catholic Church. And, you know, like the Church of England have ordained women and a lot of other churches now, especially in the UK. And, you know, the Catholic Church is the next, you know, that is the next stage for women in the Catholic Church, I feel.
Yeah, no, just a little bit more background kind of around that. So, you know, what you're talking about is like how have we gone from a position where women were able to have power to... now where there just is none within the Catholic Church, especially, well, mainly at the head of it. So in that particular text around Phoebe the deacon, Paul says that he kind of describes them as likewise, he says likewise the women in Greek, which basically what he was saying here, someone has explained, is he's saying that women deacons were to live according to the same standards as the male deacons. So that there's intended equality, not only in this passage is it saying that there is this woman who's saying, it's like, oh yeah, they live the same way as the men. And how that can be interpreted in the way that it has apparently been is kind of baffling. I don't really know what kind of the future of that is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be. This is still like continually ridiculously long time it's going to take to change from these conservative traditionalist values, or if we will see some change quickly, because when you look at other parts of Christianity, there's a lot more of a concept of equality within that, I think. And especially, it's interesting when you look at kind of on the ground of the Catholic Church, so like community Catholic churches. There was a church in my town at home, and all apart from 2 of the 10 Eucharistic ministers were female, 80%. Readers and collectors, majoritively female. But none of them were allowed to actually, you know, don the robes and be a priest.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that's, I don't know, there's still this interest for women to be a part of the Catholic Church, even though they know at the top of it, you know, top of the hierarchy, there's no representation for them. Why do they continue to be interested in these kind of smaller roles? There's definitely a sense of community. Do you think there's almost like a separatism between the head of the Catholic Church and then the actual Catholics themselves?
Well, that's sort of, I think, to do what Pope Francis is trying to do is to not try and make it less centralised and to have, you know, because we've got, not every Catholic has the same mindset, and, you know, where you live depends on, you know, what and what culture you live depends on what happens, you know. And the problem with... women becoming priests in the Catholic Church is that a priest is supposed to sort of embody and represent Christ, who is male, and that's where sort of the theological problem comes into that, because, you know, you can't, you know, it's simply because they're not male, and that is quite a difficult theological problem to solve, because it's, you know, it's quite clear and it's quite a big thing in the Catholic Church. And, like, the same, you know, especially for the Pope, the Pope is sort of supposed to embody and represent Christ. And the issue with, at the moment, we've sort of got 2 popes alive at the moment. Supposedly, we've got the last Pope and we've got our current Pope, because they're supposed to die and in a way that represents sort of Jesus Christ in that sort of way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense. Really good Netflix movie on it about at the moment.
The 2 popes.
Yeah, watched it this afternoon. Fantastic. If you're interested in what we're talking about, it's definitely something you should watch. But that, you know, these inherent problems with, you know, women having some sort of higher place in the Catholic Church makes it very difficult, and it takes a lot of time for that sort of thing to change.